the Saturday Light Brigade. That was Sally Rogers, Circle of the Sun, First Day of Spring. And you know, it's good. We have a very spiritual guy here who not only is a great musician, but works in helping people feel good through work that he does in healing. And he's here from Buffalo, although I don't know if he ever gets to spend much time there. He's on the road quite a bit. And we'll make sure that he's here with us today. It's Stuart Fuchs. Where were you last night?
Where was I last night? I was I was on a plane from Boston to, let's see, where was it? Oh, Pittsburgh. That's where I am today. Traveling will do that. I went home to where I live now, which is New Hampshire. I was a Buffalo, New York was my home for 20 years and still is home to me in a lot of ways. But yeah, I live in New Hampshire. I just came off of a 10-day tour of Florida, performing concerts, giving workshops, and leading different sessions across Florida for 10 days. So
that had to be
happy
nice.
To be back on the road before I got too used to being home, you know.
Well, Stukulele is a nickname that has been well earned, and I'm just going to turn it over to you.
Oh, well, thanks. Larry, it's so good to be back here with you in Pittsburgh, and thanks for having me on the show again.
Yeah, by the way, there is a workshop at the Wilkins School Community Center today. So if you are a uke player of any level and you have been interested in the ukulele, you can attend that, and we'll give you details on that in a little bit. So get your listening, get something to write with, maybe, if you don't have it already.
Yeah, you can get your uke on with us. I'll be giving a workshop and concert for Steel City Ukuleles. That's going to be today at 2 p.m. at the Wilkins School. So if you're listening and you want to come, there still are some seats available. Workshops at 2, concert will be about 3:10. And the Wilkins School's at 7604 Charleston Avenue in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's right in Regent Square, right off of Braddock, Braddock and Charleston.
Oh, of course, Braddock and Charleston. Naturally. I love being in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, to me, feels like San Francisco. All the hills, all these houses feel like they're carved into the hills. So
they are.
Nice to be back. Nice to be back. So, yeah, so I've been playing ukulele across the country since we last met, and yesterday morning, I had the pleasure of being part of a ukulele panel at Smith College in Northampton, Massachusetts. Music librarian there, Marlene Wong, she is a great fan of the ukulele, and she started a lending library of ukuleles. So you can go to Smith College and sign out a ukulele. You can sign out a songbook. And I was one of five people on this panel talking about the ukulele, why it's such a great instrument for everybody to learn. And I think one of the things is that it's just a very accessible way of people getting into their music making right away. You know, as soon as you just pick it up, hug it, you know, put your arms around it and give it a hug and strum, it already is attuned to a chord. She loves you, yeah, 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 yeah. So it's already a chord, and it's a very intuitive way of getting into music making. And while I was there on this panel, ukulele fans will know who their names, Jim and Liz Beloff. They're two people who have put out a lot of different songbooks for uke, and the ukulele world would not be what it is today without their efforts of putting out different songbooks. So it was great to be with them and talk to them. They're such wonderful and generous and kind people. They shared with us a story of how they met George Harrison. They were working on a Beatles and 60s music book for ukulele, and they had hoped that they had hoped to get some sort of a foreword from George Harrison. And you know, just to fast forward through the story, they got word that he was in town, and George, a huge fan of the uke, and a collector of ukulele and all ukulele ephemera. His handler, his personal assistant called Jim and Liz and asked if he could come over and see his collection of ukes. So they keep getting calls through the day. Oh, first we got to, you know, we'll be there soon. George needs some coffee. They get a call an hour later. You know, we decided to go to the dentist. And they're thinking, no big deal. You know, maybe this won't happen. You know, when will a beetle ever come to our house? So, well, you know, about 2:30, they get a knock on the door, and it's George Harrison and his assistant. And they sit down, and they played ukes for over 2 hours. They said almost 3 hours, just hanging out. And by the end of it, George did write a little something. This was towards the end of his life when he was struggling with some of the cancer that he had at the end of his life. But yeah, beautiful guy, beautiful story, and he was very generous with his time, and they jammed on ukulele. The story ends like this. Just as George was turning to leave, he runs to the piano and plays this. That's it. And that was his farewell to Jim and Liz. So yeah, anyway, I've been yapping about the uke and George Harrison. Maybe I'll play a little bit. Here is a little something for you to enjoy.
Something. Mm. You know, one of the things that was really neat about the way you played that and the arrangement was there was a little, if I could call it, there was a little electric guitar in that, you know. Do you know what I mean? The single note and the way you happen to be plucking it kind of had that sound while... It was almost as if you were playing two instruments.
Oh, cool. Yeah, good. I'm glad that came across. Yeah, I'm ad-libbing a little bit, but trying to also play his solo.
Exactly.
The guitar solo in there.
Exactly. And maybe that's just my ear being tricked a little bit by your faithfulness to that. But yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a an homage as well as a work of art as
yeah,
you're
that's
playing.
Yeah, there's a great George lick in there at one point. He goes around the G7 chord. He goes very jazzy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can squeeze a lot of mileage out of that little lick there.
You can learn a lot from Stuart if you even it doesn't matter. Maybe you've got a ukulele and you just haven't really managed. Maybe you're afraid of it. Stuart will help you today at a workshop at 2 o'clock here in Pittsburgh at the Wilkins School Community Center, Regent Square. Braddock and South Charleston or Charleston Avenue.
Yeah, looking forward to it. My workshops are super fun. I'm all about making music easy. I encourage people to brainwash themselves with the truth. I call it the truth that music is easy. It may not feel like it, but it's meant to be easy. And I have some methods and some techniques to make it feel easy and very fun. This class is open to all levels. I think there's going to be almost 20, 25 people there already. And so that's always fun when there's a good group energy there. You get swept along with it.
Well, and this is we've had several events we've talked about this morning where if you're looking to make new friends or adopt a new activity. One of the nice things is you can continue after Stuart gets back on the road because Steel City Ukes will be there. And they have these great informal meetups where you can play. And Stuart's proudly presenting a Steel City Ukes T-shirt. That
That's
I'm sure.
My best T-shirt. Thank you, Steel City Ukes. Yeah. Isn't this a nice slate blue?
It's great.
It's a cool color.
It's lovely.
I do say so myself.
Yeah, Steel City Ukuleles have a lot of different meetups. Guest artists like myself come through, but also their regular jam sessions and classes. So, yeah, you can search them out on Meetup. Also, by the way, might want to say my website, I guess, for listeners. It's stufuchs.com. That's StuFuchs, stufuchs.com. And you can check out the things up there, videos, music, lessons. I teach people around the world via Skype and travel to give these workshops.
Yeah, it's a fun website to look through, and you can just learn more about Stuart. You can see maybe you want to take a trip, even take a little vacation. Find
can
him.
I make a shameless plug? There's going to be a ukulele cruise that myself and another great jazz ukulele player will be on. His name is Gerald Ross, and we're going to be cruising from New York City to Bermuda. It'll be 7 days at sea and at port, playing ukuleles, enjoying the pink sands and beautiful waters of Bermuda. And that will be leaving from New York City. There's info on my website's homepage,
okay.
But it's the end of August into the Labor Day weekend. So, yeah, come along. Come on board. It'll be Gerald Ross, myself, and another great teacher from New York City named Mark Michaels, who is a founder of the New York Ukulele School. So, yeah, it's going to be very, very, very fun. And I'm going to personally take you to one of my favorite swimming holes with water that's even bluer than that LED light on your radio board right there, Larry. It's like really, really beautiful sight. So
we care a lot about our LED lights, believe it or not. I want to point out that the cruise also, it's 2 days on the ship, then 3 days on land, and then a day back, which I've never been on a cruise, but this is what would get me on one, because to me it's like, I love being on ships, but like, I'd like to just be on land for a while too. So that sounds like a great time.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. So yeah, there's info right on the website, so.
Stuart Fuchs is who you're hearing, and we better get some more music in.
My love for you is like the square root of 2. That's a nerdy way to flirt, but it's true. 'Cause if you write that number straight out into the umpteen decimal place, You notice that it don't repeat and it never terminates. My affection's never ending. Every day is new. My love is like the square root of two. Written as a decimal, my love is like the square root of two. My love for you is like the square root of two. That's a dorky way to corn, but it's true. My fondness isn't fractional, in fact, it's irrational. That is, when you speak in terms strictly mathematical. Oh, fetch me a blackboard, I'll sketch you the proof. My love is like the square root of two. Written as a decimal, my love is like the square root of two. Whoa, 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 baby. I know you're not much for numbers, but maybe you can make an exception. We can be lovers. My affection's never ending. Oh, every day is new. It's how my love is like the square root of two. Love is like the square root of two. My affection's never ending. Every day is new. My love is like the square root of two. Written as a decimal, my love is like the square root of two. Oh, baby, now my love is like the square root of. Little tune from the Two Gentlemen Band. The square root of two.
And who wrote that?
Is this mic on?
I think.
Yeah. Can't quite hear myself. A great group out of New York City. The square root of two is the name of that tune. And for a lot of people, that is, you know, a very typical ukulele sound, and rightfully so. You know, this idea that you're accompanying yourself all by your lonesome. Not that you couldn't do it with other people, of course, but just to hold down the whole fort, the whole harmonic structure, the whole rhythmic structure in this little humble ukulele, kind of shocking people with all the music that can come out of it.
It is amazing. Four strings.
There's just a little bit of, you know, Bach to take us through. The one of the things the ukulele has in common with the Baroque guitar is this tuning. If I move from the fourth string down to the first string, you'll notice it starts with a high string and then goes lower. So that's called reentrant tuning. And that's just a fancy word for saying there are possibilities to cross the notes and to blend them. Mm-hmm. So that style is in a style called campanella, where notes can be overlapped. And they really blend into themselves so beautifully. Campanella means little bells.
I never thought about that tuning. Now, traditionally a guitar is tuned, you're moving up. Every string is higher than the one before it, mm-hmm. Right? You mentioned Baroque. Is that a tuning that can be applied to a traditional guitar as well?
The Baroque guitar did have some reentrant tunings, high strings where there should be low strings.
Mm-hmm.
Standard tuning of a uke is G, C, E, A. this is a high G string. So maybe mm-hmm. later I'll play something that shows that off a little more.
Yeah, this is Stuart Fuchs, by the way. Workshop today, we were asked to repeat it a few times. Did I say hi to Casey in Springdale? I just texted you back, but thank you for mentioning how much you're enjoying the hour today. We really appreciate the text you sent. If you've got a question if you want to let Stuart know you're listening, please text us, 412-200-5975. 412-200-5975, or call that number, and we'll get the phone over so Stuart can hear that you're listening.
Saturday Light Brigade. Yeah, we would love for you.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Say hi.
You know, a brigade is a group of people assembled to do something, right? Sense of belonging, a good thing. Mm-hmm. Saturday is, well, here we are, lighthearted and light as opposed to heat, you know? Mm-hmm. All fits, it comes together. And plus it's fun to do that thing.
Beautiful concept, even without the William Tell overture. Saturday Light Brigade.
I mean, in Alfred Lord Tennyson's poem, now if we're going to just extend it a little more, The Charge of the Light Brigade, while it was, you know, war, it was about people trying to overcome incredible obstacles, which to me is an incredible thing to think about.
Mm-hmm. Overcoming obstacles is music practice has lots of obstacles. So one of the things I just here noticed that nice little segue.
One of the
things I love to do in my workshops to offer people ways, some of them pretty surprising, a lot of folks have never encountered, ways of yielding to overcome the obstacles. You know, these are things that, you know, we might have read somewhere, maybe principles of Taoism or other principles, Western or Eastern, ways of merging with an obstacle and then being able to overcome it. So these are all, you know, they sound really nice. Okay, that sounds like a good idea, but how do we use it? How do we put it into our music practice? So I'll share those with my workshop attendees, and we have a good time. That's really my whole thing, is just to become the music and to try to get out of the way of the natural flow of the music.
Yeah, and there are things in this era where it seems like you can learn everything on YouTube and there's all the knowledge in the world, almost you might conclude there's really no human being that is going to show me something that I can't learn independently. Not quite the case, and you're robbing yourself of a lot of delight. And I'm speaking to myself, not just you. You're robbing yourself of a lot of delight in what people can show you.
Absolutely, yeah. And the so much
and
of
in what
my,
you can show other people too.
Yeah, and so much of the beauty of a path. You know, I just said my, but you know, anyone's path. You know, of learning, whether it's music or whatever it is you're studying, is of course the relationships that we make with our teachers and how everybody eventually becomes your teacher. And that's a beautiful thing to be part of. You know, I wouldn't want it to not include such inspiring teachers who have blessed my life with their wisdom, and not just about the subject they were teaching me about, but things about living. I was part of a wonderful project. Maybe I'll play another tune and I could tell you about this thing that I was part of, an NEA, a National Endowments of the Art, granted residency I was part of last November, so I'd love to fill you in on that. It was a big event, but how about I play some music from this is a vaudeville tradition, some more vocals, so trying to sing before noon. This is from a great British entertainer. He was very popular during the World War II era, and he was named George Formby. He played banjo, ukulele, and much like Bob Hope, you know, really raised the morale of Allied forces, the British Allied forces. Amazing entertainer. And he played some fantastically syncopated strumming, kind of like that stuff I was doing at the end of that last tune. You know. So that's called the Formby Stroke. Sometimes it's been nicknamed the Formby Stroke after George Formby. But this is not going to have any of this. This is a more of a spooky, I think it was just a week ago. It was Friday the 13th. So here's a little spooky tune. George Formby was also known for very clueless characters. They just have no idea what's going on. And his lyrics were a little bit cheeky and sometimes were banned by the BBC. I don't know if this song was, but some of his other tunes were banned by the BBC. Funny, because, you know, today's standards, they're rated G. Here's Our House is Haunted.
Haunted. I've heard funny noises of late. For one evening in the back kitchen, I swear I saw a man's shadow go creeping in there. When I told the wife, she said, "Hush, it's a ghost. You'd better get off to bed. His way, don't let him see you. Every man that he looks at drops dead. I'm terrified out of my life. I'd leave the house but for the wife. Our house is haunted. I'm sure there's a ghost in the house. Each night round the place softly creeping he goes. But my wife's not frightened, the courage she shows. Each night I can hear him below, and the wife knows I'm frightened the most. She gets up and leaves me in bed filled with fright, while downstairs she hunts for him for hours left and right. I haven't seen her since 11 last night. Oh, I wish we were rid of the ghost.
That's good. Ah, yes, I can hear myself. Yes, just a little bit quieter now, please.
One night, as I sat in me bedroom, I heard a disturbance downstairs. Somebody screamed, "Ooh, you mustn't do that!" I locked my room door and hid under the mat. I used to have 3 suits of clothes once to wear. Now I can only find one. I said to me wife, "Where's me clothes?" She said, "Hush, I'll go see if the ghost has them on." She says through brick walls he can get. He's been through me pockets, I'll bet. Our house is haunted. I'm sure there's a ghost in the house. Each night round the place softly creeping he goes. But my wife's not frightened, the courage she shows. Each night I can hear him below. The wife knows I'm frightened the most. She gets up and leaves me in bed filled with fright, while downstairs she hunts for him for hours left and right. I haven't seen her since 11 last night. Oh, I wish we were rid of the ghost. So a little bit of vaudevillian traditions there from Mr. George Formby.
Mr. George Formby.
I think I know his BBC work. In fact, as soon as he said he was banned from the BBC, some of his songs, I'm pretty sure I can remember being a radiophile, some of the old days of BBC.
Mm-hmm.
There's incredible stuff there.
Yeah, really fun, humorous stuff. Oh, so this project I was part of, can I
Oh, yeah, the National Endowment of the Arts, you mentioned, and this was quite an honor. Tell me about...
It was really wonderful. You know, for the past six years, I've been an artist in residence at a cancer institute in Buffalo, New York. It's called Roswell Park Cancer Institute, and there is a program through the university at Buffalo's Center for the Arts called the Arts and Healthcare Initiative. So I've been an artist in residence through that UB Arts and Healthcare Initiative for 6 years, and working bedside with patients, families, and staff, bringing healing music of a healing vibration, whether it be ukulele, guitar songs, Tibetan singing bowls, Native American flute, or didgeridoo, leading meditations. In some way, I would share the healing power of sound and its ability to return us to our essence. So this work has been going on for years, and then somewhere along the line, I was invited to apply for a grant from the National Endowment of the Arts, and I was very happy to have been awarded the grant. It was really, really great honor. Last November, the composition project, that's what it was for, took place. It was a 10-day residency where in 10 days I visited patients in hospitals, I sat with them, we improvised music, we improvised poetry, we drummed. All these interactions were, of course, right off the cuff and improvisatory. Those interactions were filmed. I took all that footage and in 10 days created 4 separate videos or movies. Those were then projected behind me during a final performance,
wow,
which I performed and improvised with, and with a trio I performed with. Also creating a bridge between those movies and the live performance, I created another bridge between the audience themselves. They were all seated in the round on the main stage at the Center for the Arts. And so people were improvising along with these videos.
Boy, there's a lot there to consider. The family members of patients probably at the concert, mm-hmm, and seeing what emerged as a result of your working with their family members. Plus, I'm wondering for you, Stuart, each individual you worked with has one more or less experience to process, or at least one relationship to process. Mm-hmm. You end up having many relationships to process by working with these people over 10 days. Maybe overwhelming isn't the right word, but that's a lot to take in, isn't it?
It was a lot to take in, and part of the training for being an artist in residence was, you know, to sit in the midst of what can sometimes feel like a lot happening, and just to be a witnessing presence and to observe it. This is very helpful in performing music as well, you know, to be able to step back, watch the storm of thoughts and feelings. When I say storm, I don't mean it in a negative sense, just that there's a lot of activity, and then to be able to respond to it. I was really touched with what was coming through these patients, especially at that stage of their life. The wisdom that they were sharing, the life experience they were sharing was really, really inspiring and made it into the films. One of the patients was herself a singer and a poet, so when I came into her room with a little bit of, you know, a little music, she instantly started making up all these songs, and we had a good time. Unfortunately, I can't share these movies on my website, stufuchs.com, because of the privacy issues. However, I can share them with other granting institutions and medical schools and anyone who might be interested in this project. It was really amazing to see how people in that situation were really able to latch on to music, go with the flow of just a creative impulse, and to use the creative process as a way to, you know, see their condition in a different light, and to express some deep feelings.
Yeah, and you know, even if Stuart isn't part of your life directly, or something like this can't happen, I'll tell you, you know, my father having recently, not that recently, passed away in August, one of the best bedside ways of communicating we had was by playing music that I knew he liked. Mm-hmm. And his reactions to that were amazing. And I've seen that with others too. And there's some simple things you can do. Threshold choirs, another example, people who sing at bedside. Mm-hmm. Just terrific. I just have a few minutes left. Now, Stuart, please look at his website, Stuart Fuchs. It's Stuart with a U, S-T-U-A-R-T, F-U-C-H-S.com. But it's easy to find. It's StuFuchs.com. I'm sorry. There's no Stuart in there. Just Stu, S-T-U-F-U-C-H-S.com. And I'm going to thank everyone for being with us today and let you take us out, Stuart. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me back.
I don't know how many more minutes I have left.
You wanna try to hit the post? That's one of the grand radio traditions.
All right, give me a countdown.
Okay, you've got 50 seconds.
50 seconds.
Thanks for being with us.
When the rooster starts to crow, I rise and shine. And the bell still rings at quitting time.
Down to 30.
Did I mention that I think you're fine? Billy here.
Join us next week at the Saturday Light Brigade. Thanks to Stuart Fuchs.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Larry.